In today's gospel, Jesus talks about the persecution that Christians will experience, not only during the time when he lived and immediately after his death and resurrection, but that persecution that the church continues to experience down through the ages. From its earliest times, the church has known what it is to be the focus of the world's violence. The old principle of killing the messenger applies here. For you see, the church, when she is truly living her life, always says that we are living in a world that is passing away, that there is a new world that we are already part of, a world of love, a world of nonviolence, of life that is emerging. But this infuriates the world of sin. And this explains why the 20th century was the bloodiest century in the history of the world. Why the 20th century was that century that saw more people martyred, more people, in the words of Jesus' last statement in today's gospel, enduring to the end and thereby saving their souls. So how do we live in a world like this? Well, we seek to practice a certain kind of detachment from the world that is passing away, and we have our eyes fixed on that world that will never end. And with that in mind, we speak with confidence, we speak provocatively the message of the gospel, and we never tire of speaking of our dying and rising Lord. And indeed, it is this theme, this conflict between two kingdoms, that is at play in our Old Testament lesson. For here we read on the one hand of King Belshazzar. Picture in your mind the scene. There are 1,000 lords present for this banquet, not to mention all of the wives, not to mention the concubines, and everyone else who is there. It is a scene of popularity, of opulence, of excess of every kind. And here the king makes this festival, and they start drinking, and they keep on drinking. And added to the opulence of this event, there is then an idolatrous practice that takes place. Being a little too tipsy, the king has a great idea. Let's bring in the vessels, the sacred elements that were used in the Jerusalem temple, and let's drink from them. And the text says they drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Here we see the central value of the kingdoms of this world, the deification of material goods, and the marginalizing at best, or the blasphemy at worst of the true God. But just when the wine is flowing, just when everyone is feeling great, we read, immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall of the royal palace next to the lampstand. The king was watching the hand as it wrote. Then the king's face turned pale and his thoughts terrified him. Enter Daniel. Daniel, the central character in the book of Daniel, hence that's why it's called Daniel. But of course, the point is this, that Daniel always represents the minority kingdom. He always represents those who confidently proclaim trust in the living God and is able to see through the superficiality of Belshazzar's feast. And I love this bit. When Daniel is promised a reward, now remember our scene, we've got 1,000 lords in this room. And the king says to Daniel, he says, if you can interpret the words that the hand has written, you will be third highest in my kingdom. Wouldn't that be attractive? Wouldn't you be drawn to that kind of position? But not Daniel. Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and let him know the interpretation. Daniel, understand something that is expressed throughout the scriptures. And in a most poignant way, these verses from Psalm 49, which I'd like to read right now. So don't be impressed with those who get rich and pile up fame and fortune. They can't take it with them. Fame and fortune all get left behind. And just when they think they've arrived and folks praise them because they've made good, they enter the family burial plot where they'll never see the sunshine again. We aren't immortal. We don't last long. Like our dogs, we age and weaken and die. This is exactly the message that Daniel relates to the king. The king had exalted himself against the Lord, and now there is the day of accounting, a day that every mortal will have to face when we have to give an account to Jesus Christ as to how we lived in this world. The verdict on King Belshazzar is that his life has been weighed in the scales and it has been inconsequential. His life has been misdirected. His values never took account of his death. What we invest in this life makes all the difference to how we will end our lives. As Christians, we will always seem a peculiar people. We are weird because we live by a different value system. We have our focus on another king and another kingdom. And in a world that so easily exalts itself against God and places ultimate value in passing fancies, we have a different perspective. We have a different way of living, where we're able to see that these are actually counterfeit values, and we do not want to invest in them. No. Like Daniel, like the apostles to whom Jesus spoke in today's gospel, we want to invest in those lasting values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Beloved friends, it is very hard to live this way because the world is so present. It seems so powerful. It seems so enticing and so attractive. And yet the scripture tells us this morning that we are part of a kingdom that will never end. And we always live with this kingdom in mind as day by day we live in this world that is fading away.